Father God, we simply come before your presence. In the holy and precious name of your Son, our Savior. And Father, let us understand this morning the significance of what it's really all about. That God became flesh, dwelt among us. Amen. Went to a cross and suffered a horrible, horrible death. But the pain of the body was nothing compared to the pain in the spirit. As he who knew no flesh, no sin, became sin in the flesh that he had taken upon himself. So Lord, we gather here this morning. We need to be strengthened in the spirit. We need to be strengthened, Lord. Father, there have been failures this week in the mindset, in the attitudes, in the reactions, in the responses. There have been some failures, not just in this body, but in the body of Christ, Lord. And yet, Father God, you knew before the foundation of the world every mistake, every sin, every flaw that each of your children would possess, encounter, and you took it to the cross. Amen. You took it to the cross. So, Father, this morning I ask you to strengthen the body of Christ starting right here. Yes. Starting right here. Let us be real with you. Yes. Real with each other. And real with you. And let us just simply enter into your presence, honoring you, praising you throughout this rest of this day and throughout this week, Lord. Amen. Every day of the world, take into consideration what you've done for us, who you are to us, who you are for us. And Father, I pray this morning for your anointing. In a few minutes, as we get into the Word, I'm asking for your anointing, for clarity of thought. I'm asking you, Father God, that I can encourage your people. The word is an encouraging word this morning, Father. And I'm praying that you will grant to each of us a greater understanding. Father, I pray for Quinn and for Kathy this morning. And I pray that you'll continue a work of restoration and healing in Kathy's body, Lord. And we just thank you for them, who they are and all they are. And we ask you this morning, Lord Jesus, touch her body. Amen. And bring healing and restoration. Now, when everybody in here who has any physical infirmity, whatever, stand up and we'll pray for you. If you're dealing with any physical infirmity, whatever. Father God, you have seen these who have stood. I know not who have stood in total. But you know who has stood. Father, let them stand in hope. Let them stand in faith. Let them stand in humbleness before you. Father, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and Satan is a trespasser. And so, Father God, this morning, I'm asking you as our Heavenly Father, touch these who have stood. Touch them. And bring relief and healing and restoration. Bring them just a little relief and restoration. And if you'll do that, we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we thank you, Father, for the privilege of calling you Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to go and open your Bible to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, and I've entitled this, listen to me carefully, In Search of Christlikeness. How do you go about searching for Christlikeness? That is the whole process of sanctification. It is to increasingly make us more like Christ. And of course, that requires surrender. That requires submission. So once we start searching for Christ, and we're searching for Christ's likeness, lifelong journey. You never get there fully until you get to glory. Then we'll be like Him. We will see Him as He is. We will be like Him. But between here and there, there's a lot of pain, a lot of pain, a lot of disappointment, a lot of discouragement. Now understand this going into this morning. As I've been telling you in recent weeks, and I'm telling you, most of the church does not accept this, does not believe this, does not receive this, does not believe this. You are going to have to come through level after level after level of training, teaching, discouragement, disappointment. All of that's in the mix. Because God is determined to conform you to Christ's likeness. That is the whole goal, is to get us Christ-like. And once you, and so few ever get there, can you say to God, I totally, unconditionally submit. I unconditionally surrender to Christ's likeness. Do whatever you must to conform me. Do whatever you must to make me like Christ. As we come through this morning, Christ's likeness is the goal of every believer, or should be. Christ's likeness should be the goal of every believer. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Sunday when we try to do our very best, look our best, speak our best, act our best on Sundays, but every day of our life. Every morning of the world, when we get up, we should go before the throne of God, submitting, surrendering, and asking Him, conform me to Christ's likeness. I want to be conformed to Christ's likeness. Whatever that means, whatever that takes, I want to be conformed to Christ's likeness every day of our life. Now, we're going to continue this morning in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Let me ask you this. Did you ever meet somebody you didn't like? Did you ever meet someone you didn't like? I mean, first rattle out of the box. First look at it. I don't like you. You develop an attitude, something about them. You know, Will Rogers once said he never met a man he didn't like. Will Rogers said that. He said he never met a man he didn't like. When I read that, I thought, you didn't meet some of the people I've met. Because I'm not sure you could still say that if you'd met some of the people that I've met. But the man said that. So, sometimes we just form an opinion too quickly. We don't like a particular characteristic. We don't approve of what they're wearing, where they dress, the way they act. And sometimes just standing in the checkout line in Publix, be someone else standing in the checkout line, and you take one look at them and all of a sudden you become critical, judgmental. I wouldn't wear that to a dogfight. I wouldn't leave my house looking the way you look. What rock did you crawl out from under? Now, I know that most of you are too spiritual for this kind of thing. But see, I'm still in the process of sanctification. And so I'm in the process of sanctification. And I've come a long way, but I haven't arrived yet. But then I don't know of anybody who has arrived yet. I haven't met that person yet. But we have to evaluate our thought life. If you take the time to realistically evaluate your thought life, you'd be surprised what you're going to find. You'd be surprised what you're going to find. Peter Lord took his son to college. And he's getting his son registered in college. And there was a guy registering in college. And Peter tells this himself. This guy came in to register, and Peter was there getting his son registered, and this guy had on a slouchy kind of shirt and a pair of raggedy kind of blue jeans and shower clogs and no socks and no shoes, and He had hair hanging down to beyond. He had a couple of earrings in. And Peter was thinking, oh, dear Lord, that is in class with my son. And so he evaluated the guy, pigeonholed him, put him in position. And that year when they were doing the ceremony at the close of the school year, handing out the little certificates and whatever, guess who was voted most Christ-like man in the class? The very guy that Peter Lorne that had stood there and had condemned critically in his own spirit. Now, you've been there, but you see, that's why we're told, that's why the Word of God says, judge not that you be not judged, for forth of judgment you judge, you shall be judged. We have to be careful. You got to guard your thought life. You got to guard your reactions and your responses. So, we've had the same kind of experience. We've looked at people, sized them up, categorized them, and regardless of how right or wrong we were, we've all been there. But you have to understand this. What was it about me that attracted me to God? What was it about you that attracted you to God? Could it have been the fact you were a sinner and he loved sinners? We're all sinners, yes, sinners saved by grace. And so when you stop and ask yourself, what was it that attracted me to God? It's hard to come up with because we realized we were just all sin, nothing, absolutely nothing. But thankfully, God is love. Amen. God is love. And thankfully, God loves sinners. That's, you see, when you stop and think about this whole thing, that holy, holy, holy God, thrice holy God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, look down on a world of sinners and loves sinners of every kind, of every description, of no matter what the lifestyle is, careful now, no matter what the lifestyle is, God loves them. And some of us in the church today, pulpits have men in it who at one time, their life was not very satisfactory. Sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. We're just sinners saved by grace. And the day we think we have arrived, spiritually, that just goes to show you how far we are from arriving. God loves sinners. This is what gets us. Of every type, every race, every description. God loves sinners. Amen. We were all sinners. Now, everybody in here sinned at different levels of intensity, but we were all, and we are, all sinners saved by grace. God loved us, even when we were sinners. God loved us. So how much more does he love us now that we've been adopted into his family? But don't ever lose sight of the fact of where you come from. Amen. Don't lose sight of what you come from and what you've come through. Romans 11:11. Paul goes on, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now in the New Living Translation, that verse reads this way, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. We must ask ourselves, am I lazy in the things of the Lord? Am I lazy? Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In the New Living Translation that reads, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Now, we must ask ourselves, each one of us, we have to ask ourselves, am I lazy in the Lord? Am I lazy in the Lord? Am I lazy in advancing the kingdom of God? Am I fervent in advancing the kingdom of God? If not, why not? We have fervency in other areas of life, but are we fervent in advancing the kingdom of God? Then we have to ask ourselves this, am I sensitive to the opportunities that the Lord makes available to me. Are we? Are we sensitive to the opportunities that the Lord gives us to represent Him? I'm going to tell you, sometimes we go through a day, we miss opportunity after opportunity after opportunity because we're not sensitive to that opportunity. We have to become, and one of the things I pray is keep me sensitive. And we need to make that part of our prayer life. Ask the Holy Spirit, but then ask yourself this. How can the Holy Spirit make you sensitive and quicken you to a situation or circumstance if you are quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit? In your speech, attitudes, reactions, thought life, this whole thing. When we look at this morning, am I sensitive to the opportunities to be of service to the Lord? Am I sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Am I sensitive to the check in the Spirit? Am I sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit? All that comes into the mix. Now, you come to this. Am I willing to be involved in advancing the kingdom of God? You would think that's a pat answer. You would think, well, now that I'm born again, yes, I am willing to be involved in advancing the kingdom of God. Well, to what degree am I advancing the kingdom of God? What about my life is advancing the kingdom of God? What about, now I'm asking questions that each of us have to look at and answer for ourselves. Am I willing to be involved in advancing the kingdom of God? Well, if I'm willing, am I involved? Now, this is something between you and God. Am I involved in advancing the kingdom of God? In my lifestyle, in my conversation, in my responses, reactions to life, am I involved in advancing the kingdom of God? In other words, am I Christ-like in every expression of life? To what degree am I Christ-like? Because that is the goal. Now, if I am involved, if you say to yourself, yes, I'm involved in advancing the kingdom of God, I'm going to ask you in what way? If you say, well, I'm up here singing, that's service, that's ministry, but are you involved in advancing the kingdom of God? Where you live, where you work, when you're mixing and mingling, are you involved in advancing the kingdom of God? About your testimony, your witness, your lifestyle, sometimes just your reactions and responses to life can speak volumes. And these are things that each one of us have to deal with. When I was working with this message, you understand, I have to look at this before I bring it to you. I have to examine my life before I ask you to examine your life. So am I willing to be involved in advancing the kingdom of God? Yes. Am I involved in advancing the kingdom of God? Well, I'm trying. And that's a personal thing with you. But then you got to ask yourself, okay, if I am willing to be involved in advancing the kingdom of God, what's the line? I don't go beyond this. Where do I draw the line? And then you ask yourself, am I really truly involved in advancing the kingdom of God? And sometimes, folks, it's nothing more than just a statement in a checkout line. Nothing more than just a statement in a checkout line in a Publix or wherever you may be shopping. But you'd be surprised at times that the Holy Spirit, there's that little gentle breath on the Spirit wanting you to in some way speak to that individual or be a witness, and you miss it. We miss it if we're not careful. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Ho-ho! How are we doing so far? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Have you ever looked at your prayer life? Have you ever taken the time to really look at your prayer life? What you center on, what you emphasize, what your burden is, what is your burden? Do you ever just sit down and say, what is my burden today? You see, your burden may not be tomorrow what it is today. If you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit And if the Holy Spirit is imparting to you the burden of the Father for that day, that can vary from day to day to day. Too many times we work up a prayer routine. Okay, I've got this prayer routine, and day after day I pray this and this and this and this and this. But if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, day by day the Holy Spirit is looking to impart to you a fresh burden. There's something, you see, He knows what's going to happen that day in the nations of the world. He knows what's going to happen in this nation. He knows what's going to happen in your family. He knows what's going to happen, and sometimes He is prompting you to pray prematurely before that occurs, so that when it does occur, your prayer can become effective in the life or lives of those in which that situation is occurring. Are you following this? So we have to be, it requires spirit sensitivity. You don't just rush and say, okay, Lord, bless me and them and thank you much. Slow down. This is going to hurt. We're so busy with the TV this and the TV that and this internet and that internet. And a cell phone here and a cell phone there and doing this and doing that. How about just slowing down, sitting down, being quiet and saying, Lord, do you have something you want to say to me? Hello. Just get quiet before the Lord. Wait before the Lord. And give the Lord the opportunity to speak to you. We're to continue, the Word of God says, rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope? How about rejoicing in the hope of God's continued protection for that day? We live in a sin-cursed, sin-darkened world. See, you never know when you get in your car and leave your house in the morning if you're going to be back at your house that night or not. You may be in a critical care unit. You may be in a hospital bed. You don't know. So day by day, it doesn't hurt to rejoice in God's protection as you pray for His protection, His provision. Stop and think about what God has provided you with. I dare say, in this room, sitting here right now, there's not a one of us in here that can really say, I have a real material need that has not been met. Think about it. You think about one material need. We all need some spiritual. There are things in the emotional realm we need. There are things in the spirit realm we need. But in the physical realm, I dare say everybody in here has got enough food in the pantry, in the refrigerator, got enough clothes in the closet, enough shoes, got everything you need. He has already supplied the need. The supply is there before you realize you need it. And you don't go to bed at night wondering, what am I going to eat tomorrow? Because you know it's in the house. That's not true. And I've been in places, folks. I've been in places where that was not the case. I've been there when the least they had, the best they had to offer, was meager. A couple of crackers. A cup of water. That was the best they could offer. I've been there. Do we take the time to really thank God for His protection? You see, every day of the world, if you go to bed at your bed at night in your bedroom at home, you need to be thanking God that you're getting in your bed. Amen. At home, that you're not in some hospital bed somewhere. Then patient in tribulation. Oh, how do we fail there? Patient in tribulation. Patiently enduring the test of my faith. Understand this, child of God. Your faith is going to be tested. Your faith is going to be tested. That is all part of spiritual maturity. That is all part of spiritual growth. That is all part of becoming increasingly more Christ-like. Your faith has to be tested. And it's going to come in a number of ways, at different levels of different intensity. You may as well get up every morning in the world understanding this is going to happen. I've got to patiently endure the test of my faith. It's going to happen today. And incidentally, and I said, this testing comes in many forms. You were tested this past week. At times you didn't even realize you were being tested. Would you believe me? Would you believe me? You see, we do what we believe. Did you believe me? Do you believe my word? If you believe my word, then you are being conformed. And you don't respond like this. You don't react like this. You don't harbor this. Taking every thought captive. Taking every thought captive. That's what the word says. I can't do that in and of myself. But I go before the Lord and I say to him, Father God, today I want to take every thought captive. So when I have a thought that is not of you, I want conviction. I want that little touch of your Holy Spirit convincing me of that. So you have to understand that these tests come in different levels and different levels of intensity. Right now, I'm talking to people. Some of you right now are coming through a test of your faith, your walk with the Lord. And for some of you, it's just a kind of a slight across your spirit. But for others of you, it's twisting. It's twisting. It's twisting. You have to recognize that as a reality. The tests, as I say, come in different levels of intensity. This is life, folks. This is life. This is the way life is lived. Every day of the world, you're subject to a test of your faith. At one level, one degree, one type, or another. That's all part of it. Patient in tribulation. That's what we're talking about. It's what the Word of God is talking about. Be patient through the test, through the tribulation, no matter what comes down the pike and how it comes, nor the intensity with which it comes. Because they come at different levels of intensity. And you see, what is a level of intensity to her may not be a level of intensity to me. We could have the same test, but it could be that I have already been there, come through that, come beyond that, or it could be vice versa. It could be that she has already faced that, come through that. But then, look, folks, this is reality. I can prove to you from the Scriptures what I'm saying to you. Every day of the world, Satan is out to weaken your faith, trip you up, destroy your testimony. Every day of the world, when you get out of bed in the morning, Satan has been awake because he never goes to bed. He never goes to sleep. Amen. Demons never go to bed. They never go to sleep. They're just waiting, waiting, waiting to attack, to filter the mind, to infiltrate the mind, to in some way exercise their will in the life of the individual. So now, continuing steadfast in prayer. How are we doing so far? Remaining faithful in the midst of failures and discouragement. This is all part of the mix. Disappointments. How do you handle disappointment? How do you handle things when they don't shake out the way you had thought they were going to shake out? You come through a period of discouragement, disappointment. You fail. You fail to be the witness you should have been. And you see, at times we know that we have failed, even in our thought life. I have failed there. And sometimes in our reactions, in our response. But you remain faithful as you come through this, and you do so in prayer. You do so in prayer. Prayer can be done at any time, at any point of the life. At any time in the life, you can go before the throne of God in prayer. We come to Romans 12:13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Remember who he's writing here initially, this to the early church. Now it speaks to us as well. I think most of us address that scripture through designated missions giving. I think so. But, you know, once in a while, the Holy Spirit may prompt you to give a little something to that person over there. Not necessarily in the plate. The Spirit, I've been there, and I'm not going to go into it, but the Spirit of God will prompt you from time to time to do something that you don't ordinarily do, and it may be a first time for you having done it, but at there are times he is going to use you to bless someone else. Amen. You need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit that you will react and respond to the Holy Spirit when he's prompting you. And it may be more than you think you can do. But the question is, am I willing to obey? I think for most of the time, most of us, we do it in the plate. We say, I put it in the plate, and it's up to them to distribute it properly. But from time to time, God may just prompt you to help that person there with a $10 bill, a $20 bill, whatever it may be. But you have to be sensitive to that. He wants to use you in a specific need in the life of a specific individual. Folks, what I'm saying to you this morning, spirit sensitivity. Spirit sensitivity. We get so prone to just going through life, reacting and responding in a known traditional way. But the question is, am I sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting every day of my life? Am I willing to be responsive to the Holy Spirit? Do I want the Holy Spirit prompting me, suggesting to me, moving me? And these are questions that each of us have to answer independently. Now, I know the religious answer is, oh, yeah. Well, are we really? Are we really there? Are we so busy condemning and judging and criticizing based on our evaluation of what they look like or how they act? Thank God he doesn't do that. Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. Whoa. Now, wait a minute. Slow down. Let's be real for a minute. How many people in here felt persecuted this past week? One. Bless those who persecute you. What does persecution look like? Would you know if you were being persecuted? What does persecution look like? Sometimes persecution comes from people that we think should be closest to us. Sometimes persecution comes from family members. But when we look at the scripture, bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. Don't criticize them. Don't judge them. Don't curse them. Bless them, the Word of God says. Bless so. You have to understand this. Persecution can come in a variety of expressions. It can be very slight, a very slight example of persecution. It can be stronger. And it can happen anywhere. It can happen in church. I've been there. Boy, have I been there. It can happen in the workplace. It can happen in the family. It can happen in any number of places. And there are people walking into church today that before they leave the church, they will feel something they shouldn't feel towards someone else in that church because of a, look, turn to somebody and say, this is going to hurt. We're so used to, you know, hi, how are you today? So good to see you. Boy, I sure hope God is blessing you. And all the time I'm thinking, you miserable rotten.
So where does that come from?
Yeah, where does that come from? Yeah.
That gets in our head, and sometimes we just instantly go with it.
It's called hypocrisy. It's going to put a scriptural name on it. Let's call it what it is. It's called lying. I woke up to him. I said, oh, I'm so good to see you, miserable rotten. I wouldn't go to a dog fight with you. But here I am. I'm in church. So in church, I'm supposed to be nice and pleasant and Christ-like. And though I'm not that way, I'm going to act like I'm that way just so you and I can kind of get along. But, you know, I'm in church, and this is what you do in church. Well, what about in the office place? What about at the checkout counter? What about in traffic? You idiot! Get that piece of junk out of my way. I am important, and I got places to go and things to do, and you are restricting me. Such Christ-likeness. Folks, this is everyday reality. This is everyday reality. We have to understand this. But it can happen. Workplace, in the church, in the family. This can happen. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Bless them. Bless them. And sometimes it's not so subtle. Sometimes it's subtle, and sometimes it's not so subtle. Look, I'm talking to people this morning. The way down deep in your heart, you have pretended to identify with and like somebody that you did not identify with and you did not like. It's called hypocrisy. It's called hypocrisy. When we look at scriptures like this, and we evaluate ourselves in light of scriptures like this, it gives us more reason to go to the prayer closet, or more reason just to go out and sit on the back porch or somewhere and get quiet before the Lord and say, Lord, I can't hide it from you. Why am I ignoring it myself? This is part of me. This is who I am, and this is what I am that's unlike you. And you are conforming me to your likeness, and I want to be conformed to your likeness. So in order to be conformed to your likeness, I've got to recognize reality. And this is reality. This is in my life. This is a part of my life. This is a part of who I am and what I am. I've got to recognize that. I've got to bring it to you, and I've got to talk to you about it. So, it comes at different levels of intensity. Some people, if we're not careful, we just kind of disapprove of them. But other people, we get pretty intense. Pretty intense. As I've come through all these years of ministry, and as I've come through situation after situation after situation, and had to face situation after situation, I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I've smelled it. I've tasted it. And you have too. You may not have recognized at the time for what it was, but you've been there. Now the question is, how did you react to it? How did you respond to it? And how has it affected you in your relationship with the Lord? And how has it affected your prayer life? Because we can cancel out the effectiveness of our own prayer life. Judgmentalism, criticism, prejudice of any level, of any kind. We can cancel out the effectiveness of our prayer life. Amen. We have to guard the witness. We have to guard the testimony, which means we have to guard the speech. But before we guard the speech, we got to guard the mind. We got to take every thought captive. If not, we're going to blow it. Romans 12:16. This verse gets a bit cumbersome. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Now let's look at that in the New Living Translation. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Boy, that hurts. Don't think you know it all. Don't be a know-it-all. What he's saying is, let there be unity among believers. May I speak from several years of experience? That's a problematic. That gets problematic in the church. What he's really saying is, let there be unity among believers. You know, given the diversity in the body of Christ, it's amazing we have any unity. We have to work at unity. We have to be willing to die to self. We have to be willing to give place to the other person. And sometimes these problems exist in a denomination and sometimes in a local body. I've been there, smelled it, handled it. Years ago, I'm fixed to move into some horrible. Help me, Holy Spirit. I haven't spoken. I watched, I looked, I listened, but I didn't say much. And I'm about to speak to the issue. During the last Southern Baptist Convention, now years ago, I was at Epworth by the Sea, and I saw where Southern Baptists would not ordain a man who had been divorced. And I looked at that and I thought, well, suppose it wasn't his fault. I've mentioned this to you before. Suppose it wasn't his fault. Suppose he didn't want the divorce. So I read it and I thought, they won't ordain you if you didn't even want it and your wife did this and she left you. And so I went back to my room and I knelt down. And I said, Lord, I don't like it. I don't think it's fair. And that's when he said, will you leave them? I said, well, if you told me to. What I'm getting at here is this. Once you understand that even in the body of Christ, and I just watched my old denomination, where the Lord said to me, will you come out of them? Will you leave the Southern Baptist and become non-denominational? And that morning on my knees, or that afternoon on my knees, I said, Lord, if you told me to, I would. And about 4 to 5 weeks later, he did. He spoke. And that morning I stood and told the church I was having to pull out. I was weeping. And then all of a sudden I knew they were all agreeing with me. They stood up and started applauding. And I'm standing there weeping because I didn't expect to take them with me. I expected to go on my own. I didn't expect the whole church to say, we'll go with you. But they did. And that was a turning point. And from that point to this point, I'm just a Christian. But I noticed in the last Southern Baptist Convention, the issue came up about ordaining women to pastor. And I watched to see what they were going to do. Listen to me carefully. Scripture is not determined by majority vote. Scripture is determined by line upon line, comparing Scripture with Scripture. So I sat watching that convention and wondering how it was going to shake out. Political correctness won the day. Political correctness won the day. Because they voted. Okay, will we have women in pastoral position? You can go to 1 Timothy 3. It says, no, you can't do it. A woman cannot pastor. Amen. A woman cannot pastor a church. But I watched the Southern Baptist fold their tent and slip off into the wilderness. Years ago, you see, had I not left the Southern Baptist before, then I love them. I would have to leave them now. But the Lord knew years ago this was coming. So he saved me the trouble of having to leave them now. Are you following this?
Yes,
you see, understand, this is not being mean or ugly. But my call, the call of God on my life and your life, is not a call to be a part of that. It's a part of be of his kingdom.
Yeah.
Our allegiance is to him, to his word, line upon line, precept upon precept. If God says, do it, do it. If God says, don't do it, don't do it. Once God shows you his standard, then you go by his standard and you don't compromise.
Amen.
You don't deviate. And it hurt leaving the denomination, but I did it. So you have to understand this. Scripture, once again, is not determined by majority vote. Scripture's line upon line. Satan has, unfortunately, introduced both confusion and division into the body of Christ. That's a reality. He has introduced division and confusion. In Romans 12:17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. What's he saying? Never pay back evil with more evil. Forget about that old thing about I'll get my pound of flesh. You did me one, I'll do you one better. And that was my mindset coming into the ministry for years, you know, in the military and in the civilian world, in the occupation I was in. You do me, I'll do you one better. And I know you're too spiritual for that. I know you're all too good for that and beyond that and above that, but I wasn't. But once again, here, forget about getting your pound of flesh. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can be seen that you are honorable. Do you do that? Everything you do, do it so people can see that you're honorable. Romans 12:18. Watch this now carefully. If it is possible, this is King James, New King James. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as is possible. In other words, it's not always possible. But as much as it is possible, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now let's read that in another translation. Do all that you can to live in peace with everybody. That's self-explanatory. We, on our part, are to do everything we can. One of the hardest things I ever learned to do, folks, I just have to share my heart with you. One of the hardest things I ever had to learn to do was shut up. Martin, sit down and shut up. Something is said, something is done that I totally disagreed with, but I don't have to respond to it. I don't have, as a matter of fact, if you're talking to me and you're expressing your opinion about something and I may not agree with you, I don't have to say anything. I can just nod, understand what you're saying, but I don't have to respond. I don't have to say anything because the minute I open my mouth, there's a very good possibility I'm going to quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. And if I open my mouth and quench and grieve the Holy Spirit, then how in the world can I expect Him to anoint me and empower me and enable me to do what God wants me to do? So sometimes you have to learn just shut up. Doesn't come easy, folks. None of this comes easy. Verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourself. Don't get even. That happens in marriages, folks. Don't get even. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. In other words, dismiss it. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I've been in battles, folks. I got scar tissue unreal. This ministry here is such a blessing because we don't have the conflict. We don't have the ups and downs and ins and outs and inner turmoil of somebody trying to gain this and gain that and get this position, that position. But I've been there where that was the case. I mean, I was expected, God help me, Lord. I was expected in those days after the service to go to the front, to the door when people are leaving, shake hands, so nice to see you, so glad you're here today. Hope you enjoyed the message today. And all the time, every pastor has been there. Where we're shaking hands, pretending we're good. I like you and you like me. When that wasn't the case at all. I didn't like you. And you didn't like me. But I was expected to stand there and shake your hands. I quit doing that years ago. I said, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to be a part of that. I don't have to be a part of that church mentality. Because that's a lot of times that's what it is. It's a church mentality. I want a Christ mentality. I want a Christ-like mentality. In everything I am, everything I say, everything I do, that's my goal. I don't always make it, but that's what I'm after. In another translation, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, get this now, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. He wants to fight your battle. Amen. You don't have to fight your battle. Let Him fight your battle. He says, I'll take care of it. So you have to get rid of the attitude. I had to deal with this, folks. My attitude was, you do me one, I'll do you one better. I'll do you one better. And I brought that into ministry with me from commercial life and military. I brought that in with me. It's called retaliation. When you get down to the bottom of it, it's called retaliation. I'm going to fulfill my revenge. I'm going to get my pound of flesh. That's what it boils down to. Most of us were there too long before we came to Christ, and unfortunately, too many are still there today after coming to Christ. Their church is full of it. I've been up against it for years in previous years. Thank God in recent years that has not been a problem whatever, none whatever. Are you easily offended? You have to ask yourself, am I easily offended? Why am I easily offended? If I am easily offended, and if you are offended, how difficult is it for you to forgive? It happens in families, folks. It happens in extended family. It happens in families. Someone offends you, and you don't want to forgive. The word says forgive. I don't want to forgive. You see, once we realize what we were before we truly came to Christ, each and every one of us, we were all sinners. We're all sinners saved by grace. How much of what we were before, now listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How much of what you were before you came to Christ did you bring into the kingdom of God? How much of what you were before you came to Christ? How much of what you were did you bring into the kingdom of God? You see, that's part of that process of sanctification. All that's got to be burnt out. It's got to be burnt out. Romans 12:20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Romans 12:21, our last one this morning. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. Another translation says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. In other words, conquer evil by being Christ-like. Conquer evil by being Christ-like. Closing this out with this comment. I'm in the process of being conformed to Christ-likeness. But so are you. I am in the process. God hasn't quit, hasn't let up on me. I haven't succeeded yet. And you understand this, I've been telling you for recent weeks, becoming more Christ-like is a process. It's a process. And you can expedite that process by submitting and surrendering. Stop and evaluate what is my first reaction, my first response to unpleasant set of news. What is my first reaction, my first response to an un-Christ-like attitude or action? That gives you some idea of where you are in the growth process. Folks, it's a lifetime process, but the key is be sensitive. Be sensitive. Am I responding? Am I reacting in a Christ-like way? Or am I not? Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so full of truth, and I've only scratched the surface. It goes so much deeper than we can go in a forum like this. But Father, each and every one of us have to take this to the prayer closet. We have to evaluate everything your word says about what we are and what we're to be, and we have to face reality as where we're not what we ought to be. We're not responding as we should respond. We have to be sensitive to that. And I'm asking you, Father, this morning, birth in our hearts a desire for Christ-likeness. Amen. Birth in each of our hearts an ever-increasing desire for Christ-likeness. And then, Father, enable us, empower us to increasingly become more Christ-like. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.